All right, how's that? I need to put that down a little bit. All right, Mark chapter 8. I need to put down a little bit more. 1 through 9. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciple had answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they set them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Brother Head, would you mind asking the blessings over the preaching and to help me tonight?
Our loving God, Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we bow ourselves to thee. Thank you, Father, for your great redemption in Christ.
Amen.
We rejoice to be saved and on our way to heaven tonight. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. I pray even tonight for Brother Tim, that you would bless him as he breaks the word to us tonight. May the Holy Spirit empower him. May you open our ears and our hearts that we might receive. Father, thank you for blessings today now. And may you strengthen us all, challenge our hearts tonight, and may you speak to us freshly.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. Brother Danny called me this afternoon about 2:30. He asked me if I would mind stepping in for him tonight. And it's funny because this very morning in Sunday school, I thought to myself, man, I might just let Brother Holt know that if he needs somebody again, that I'll be ready like last time. Then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that, because the thought that I had actually came from Brother Marx's message last week. Like, too soon. It's too soon. Let me give it a little while just in case. He hits me up pretty quick. So I thought, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And then I get the call. And then even after the call, I'm thinking, well, should I preach this message? I mean, it's in Mark. I mean, we're already going through a series in Mark. I don't want to step on his toes too much after Brother Mark's already preached a message in Mark chapter 8. But then I thought, well, as long as it took to get through chapter 1, it'll be 6-7 months down the road, and everyone will forget my message by then anyway. So I thought I'll just go ahead and talk about what the Lord gave me. So have no fear, I will be going over some of the same things that Brother Mark's, at least verses. But the thought here is a little bit different than what he brought last week. So here we have, in the first 9 verses of chapter 8, we have a miracle. And for the purpose of this devotion or message, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to refer to it as a Baptist miracle. And why? Well, because it revolves around food. And everybody knows that we Baptists love our food. Amen. So, we'll refer to it as the Baptist miracle. Now, the interesting thing is, just a couple of chapters before this, we have a very similar miracle. Do we not? We have the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with just 5 loaves, and I believe it was 2 fishes. And then they had enough leftovers to take up 12 baskets for the disciples. So when you compare this miracle to that miracle, you might say, well, this one doesn't quite come up to the level of that one. After all, this is 4,000 people. There's 7 loaves. There's a few fishes. And they only took up 7 baskets afterwards. So you have more, you know, you have less people. You had more people in the last miracle. You have more food that's available. And you had less baskets being taken up afterwards. So if you compare the two, this one doesn't seem to be as great. However, there's a big difference between this miracle and the miracle in Mark chapter 6. And that difference is what we find out about this multitude is this multitude had followed Jesus for 3 days. And 3 days without any food. Now, going back and studying and looking at Mark chapter 6 and corresponding verses like Matthew 14, there's not really a time frame given of how long that multitude had been with Jesus, but it almost seems like it had been maybe about a day, because it was in the evening it said that the disciples came to Jesus about this food situation, and the people hadn't traveled very far because the disciples, you know, being how we can be sometimes, they came to Jesus and they said, hey, send them back to the villages so they can get their own victuals, so they can feed themselves. So they were in a walking distance of the village to get food. Well, these people were not. They had traveled pretty far and following Jesus. And you can also find a different example here that I think is quite interesting. And both miracles, Jesus says that he had compassion on the people, but it's for two totally different reasons. If you go to Mark chapter 6, he says that he has compassion on the people because they were sheep not having a shepherd. They needed someone to lead them. But in Mark chapter 8, Jesus said he had compassion on the people because they had now been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. So again, the emphasis on being how long these people had followed him and had nothing to eat. Well, there's a few lessons we can take from this particular miracle. The first thing here is that God provides for those who seek him first. And that, you know, whenever we talk about that, that automatically makes my mind go to Matthew 6, 33, right? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, in this case, those other things was food. But they had sought after God. They had followed Jesus for 3 days with no food. That takes some dedication. So they had done it. They had decided to follow Jesus regardless of having nothing to eat. Secondly, we find here that God will provide in his time. And you mentioned that a little bit this morning. But again, for 3 days, these people had followed Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I can't remember the last time I went 3 days without eating. Probably when I was sick a couple weeks ago. You know, I couldn't keep anything down. But, you know, that, believe me, that wasn't by choice. I was hungry. And, you know, as soon as I started feeling better, well, guess what? All that weight I had lost, I gained it right back. It was very quick because I needed to eat. So those people had followed for 3 days with no food. And one thing that God does not promise us, and this is another lesson to be learned from this miracle, is he doesn't promise that we won't experience any pain while we're waiting for him to provide. You see, I'm sure within that 3 day period, there was some times of being uncomfortable, right? I'm sure there were some hunger pains that people were feeling. I'm sure that, you know, might even have been a little bit distracted. I remember a few years ago, sitting over there, you know, right where we sit. And I had a problem years ago where, you know, my stomach would start speaking to me, you know, in tongues when it was hungry. And it would growl. And it was really embarrassing when you're in church and everybody's listening to the preaching and your stomach starts growling. You don't know how many people can hear it. And I remember one time in particular sitting there and, oh man, my stomach just let out a kind of sound. And Brother Hibb was up here. And all of a sudden, he looks over here and gives me just a little smile. I don't know if you remember that, brother, but he remembers it. And yeah, he heard my stomach give the growl. That was just a morning of not eating anything. So I could just imagine maybe some of the sounds coming from the multitude here, but for 3 days. So I'm sure that they experienced some hunger pains. And you know, it says here that Jesus didn't want to send them home because he said they would faint along the way. So some of them were even close probably to fainting from lack of food and nourishment. Now, we have plenty of examples in the Bible of people who experienced some pain before, or some trials before, God provided a miracle. We think of David. Now, yeah, ultimately he became king, but do you remember all the things he went through before that? He was on the run for his life from Saul, who had time after time thrown javelins at him to try to kill him, had attacked him and ran after him. He spent so long on the run, he experienced pain, right? He experienced some trials and some tribulation. Joseph, we all know about him. He went through quite a bit before he went to the pinnacle of life. You know, he went into the pit from his brothers, went to prison for something he didn't do before he became the ruler. Daniel. Now, Daniel, we love that story. We tell it to our kids. But imagine being Daniel. You know, here he was doing what God had wanted him to do. He was following God's command. But you know what? He was still taken and thrown into a lion's den. He didn't know what was going to happen then. And it wasn't until he was thrown into the lion's den that God showed up and closed the mouths of those lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they still were thrown into the fiery furnace. But it wasn't until they were in there that Jesus showed up, right? Now, they didn't feel anything from the fire, but they still got to that point. I also think about the widow of Zarephath and her son in 1 Kings chapter 17, you know, when they fed Elijah. And here they took their last little bit of meal and oil because, you know, here's this man coming saying, hey, you wait, you feed me your last little bit. You know, I know you and your son want to just eat this and die, but you feed it to me. And when they did that, well, what did God do? Every day they went in and had meal and oil to get them through the day. And you know what? It's not there in the Word of God, but I personally feel like they weren't starving every day. I think God provided just enough to fill them for that day and then provided the next day what they needed. But there's example after example of people who, before God stepped on the scene and provided a miracle or got them through a trial or tribulation, that they had to go through some pain. But ultimately, the lesson to be learned here is that God does provide in his time, but when he does, he gives us exactly what we need. And we see here, and it's interesting because both in Mark chapter 6 and Mark chapter 8, it says that the people were filled when they ate. But I don't know about you, but I think if I had not eaten for 3 days, it's going to take a whole lot more food to fill me than if it was only one day, right? I mean, that's just, that's math, really, if you want to think about it. I haven't eaten for 3 days. I got to fill up 3 days worth of food. So, you know, it's going to take more. So I would almost think that these 4,000 probably ate more than those 5,000 from Mark chapter 6, right? So those few little loaves extra, you know, they came in handy. But anyhow, God filled them. They were filled. After 3 days of not eating, they were filled. I think that's wonderful to know that about our Lord, that he gives us exactly what we need. But now here's really the crux of this message that I want to get to, and it's actually the title of my message. It's called The Day After the Miracle. You see, one of the most dangerous times in a Christian's life is the time after the miracle occurs, is the time after, you know, we had that mountaintop experience, because that's when Satan really comes and really tries to take hold and discourage us. And that's the times where we can, in our own minds, get to thinking, you know, look what happened. I can't be touched right now. Everything's going great. You know, maybe we take a little credit for ourselves, something that went on. But it's a dangerous time. the day after the miracle. Let's look at Mark chapter 8, verses 13 through 16. Let me get over there. Now, I don't know if this was exactly the next day, but it was just a short time after this great miracle. And it says, and he left them, and entering into the ship, again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. You see, so just a day or two after this great miracle of God providing food for 4,000 very hungry people, here the disciples find themselves distressed, distraught, because they were on the boat and they forgot to bring some bread. They forgot their lunch. There's only one loaf on the ship. You know, one loaf among so many. And they thought about that. And you know, Brother Marks, I won't get into what he preached about last week, but he pointed out very well that God intended to take that and put a spiritual application to that bread. And they totally missed the mark on it. And it seemed they were of the thought that God was really trying to run them down the road because they forgot the bread. Because they said there, in verse 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. That's why you're saying this, Lord, because we forgot the bread. No, they totally missed the spiritual application. And again, Brother Marks talked about that. So, you know, we'll let that go for what he said. But let's see Jesus' response to them in 17 through 21. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not, and having ears hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Basically saying, how do you not get it? How is it not coming to you? How do you not understand what's going on here? You know, here they are just days after a great miracle. And just maybe a few days or weeks prior to, we might say, an even greater miracle. Two times God provided food for thousands with a little bit of loaves and a few fish. And here they are griping and complaining because they forgot their lunch. So he reminds them of those miracles that they had just seen, they had just been a part of. And ask that question, how is it that you do not understand? How do you not get it? But brothers and sisters, how often are we guilty of the exact same thing? Now, this is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer, or raise your hands or answer this, but how many of us are currently struggling with something, are currently worrying about something? I would say there's probably a good majority of us here that are, just have something on our minds that we're worried about. And if you're there tonight, then just take a moment and think to yourself, has God ever provided for me before? Has God ever done a miracle for me before? Because essentially when we worry about things, we're telling God, I just don't believe you're going to do it again. I just can't have faith that you're going to bring me through this. That's what we do when we worry. And maybe you're here, you're going through something, and you have been praying to God to help you through it, and it just seems like God is not answering. You know, in our young adult class, we had a great conversation one time about, You know how sometimes it does feel like God doesn't answer our prayers. Like we can pray and pray and pray, and it doesn't seem like we get a response. And why is that? Well, we talked about there's many reasons why God may not seemingly be giving us a response. One of those reasons may be because your response is already in here. The answer is already here. And today, if you're worrying about something, you're struggling with something in your life, then the answer is coming out in this message. It's right here in the scripture that we can look at something like Philippians 4:19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That right there is an answer to a prayer of saying, "Lord, help me get over this worry, get over this concern." Right there. God doesn't need to do anything else. He's already gotten his word. He says, "I'll supply your need. I'll do it." But those times where we worry and we're concerned, we're like these disciples at this time, where they're concerned about their lunch when God has already provided a meal for 4,000. Think how many God fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You think God can't provide for a few disciples with 1 loaf and a sea full of fish? But you know, I've been guilty of it myself. And it makes me feel horrible. You know, I can look back in my life and I can see so many miracles. My entire family is a miracle that we're still here. All of us. Between myself, between things that have happened to my wife where, you know, she shouldn't even be here in all reality. My children should not be here. If you look at the statistics, the percentages of having children in our situation, we are a walking, talking family of miracles. But yeah, you know what happens? I worry. I worry about things. You know, this time, well, Avery just turned 1 in January, at the end of January. Well, just a couple days after she was born and we were in the hospital still, I was at the time waiting on a call from my employer to see if I still had a job. In the hospital, waiting for that call. That's not a fun thing, you know? And I was worried. I was concerned about it. But you know what? 6 years ago, before Aubrey was born, it was about August, I lost my job. What am I going to do? My wife is going to be having a baby here in a few months, and I've got no job. Well, we're still here. Lord provided. We still have our home. Lord provided. Guess what? A year ago, Lord provided. He may not always provide in the way that we want, the way that we think it should go, but God always provides. And so when we worry, when we have concern, when we struggle with things, that's just saying, "Lord, I know you've done it before, but I just don't think you're going to do it now. I just don't think you can." That's what worrying is. And so I struggle with that. And then I think after I worry about things, you know, I may worry about a bill that I don't know exactly how we're going to pay. I worry about that. You know, maybe part of it's being a husband, a father, head of the house. I worry about those things, but I think, why am I worried? Why am I worried about those things? Because the Lord has provided so many times in the past. God has done miracle after miracle after miracle in my life. Why am I concerned about this little thing compared to what God can do and has done? Like, just like those disciples, that little loaf for just those few little people, few little guys. Those disciples, that was nothing for God compared to the 4,000 and the 5,000. Let me leave you with this. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I just encourage you today, if you're struggling with something, you're worrying about something in your life, I mean, we all go through that. We all have those struggles and trials. It's just life. We're going to face those things. But remember that God, as we said here, the lessons from the miracle, God provides for those that seek Him first. God provides in His time. Now, God doesn't promise that we won't experience pain. We may do that, but when God steps on the scene, He'll provide exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. And so let's think about that tonight. And we'll go ahead and close there. Let's all close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for this evening. I thank You for this opportunity to share what You've laid on my heart, and I pray that it was a blessing to people. And Lord, I pray that You help me to get a hold of it. Lord, I know I worry too much and struggle with things too much, Lord, when I could just look back and see all the miracles You've done. And Lord, I just pray that You help me to get a hold of that. And